My message today is entitled Spirituality and Mental Health. Yesterday actually marked the end to Mental Health Awareness Week. And despite that fact, the odds are that very few of us heard very much about becoming more informed and aware about mental health. Truthfully, it's a sad statement about the issue of mental health in the U.S. Despite the fact that one in five adult Americans experience a mental health issue. Despite the fact that one in ten young people experience a period of major depression. Despite the fact that one in 25 Americans have lived with a serious mental illness such as schizophrenia, bipolar, major depression. We are either afraid or reluctant or maybe just indifferent about talking about mental health issues. Which is strange when you consider that the numbers I just shared with you alone are enough to make it clear that most of us have someone in our lives dealing with a serious mental health issue. This aversion to mental health talk may be particularly true in spiritual communities. I'm not really sure if that's because mental health wasn't a concept when most of religion's sacred texts were written, or if it's just too uncomfortable to talk about in polite company, or if it's just something else altogether. What I do know is that in general we don't talk about mental health much. And honestly, if I'm being even-handed about this, we also don't like to talk about it much in polite society at all. So the popular bashing of spiritual communities for not talking about mental health that I just actually participated in is truthfully not very fair at all. The reality is that most people in most places tend to avoid talking about mental health. Now, for a variety of reasons, that's an unfortunate reality. Part of the reasons are related to spirituality, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to briefly look at one of the other reasons that it's unfortunate, and that being the misinformation that is out there that could be corrected by having more open conversations about mental health. The first piece of misinformation that I'd like to talk about is very important when you consider the rash of shooting violence in the U.S. Not infrequently, those covering the shooters very, very frequently begin to suggest that the shooter may have been dealing with mental health issues, and that's particularly true if the shooter is white. The implication here is that people who struggle with mental health issues are naturally more violent than the rest of normal society. Now, nothing could actually be further from the truth. And I can't help believe that if we talked about mental health with the same openness that we tend to talk about other illnesses, more of society would actually be aware of that. The reality is that the vast majority of people with mental health issues are no more likely to be violent than anyone else. Most people with mental health illness are not violent, and only about 3 to 5% of violent acts can be attributed to individuals living with serious mental illness. In fact, people with serious mental illnesses are over 10 times more likely to be the victims of violent acts than the general population. Let me say that again. People with severe mental illness are 10 times more likely to be the victims of violent crime than the general population. Another piece of misinformation about mental health that's frequently assumed by folks who are less than informed about it, and one that has made the national news recently when a presidential candidate suggested that veterans who suffer from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, aren't as strong as those who don't suffer from it, Well, it's the belief that personal weakness or character flaws cause mental problems. Put differently, it's the false idea that people with mental health problems can snap out of it if they would just try hard enough. The reality is that mental health problems have nothing to do with being lazy or weak. And many people need help in order to get better. Many factors contribute to mental health problems, including biological factors such as genes, physical illness, injury, brain chemistry, life experiences such as trauma or a history of abuse, family history of mental health problems also play into it. As I mentioned earlier, 1 in 5 Americans have experienced a mental health issue. 1 in 10 young people have experienced a bout with major depression. 1 in 25 Americans have lived with a serious mental illness. You probably know someone with a mental health problem and you don't even realize it, because many people with mental health problems are highly active and productive members of our society and our communities. As a matter of fact, I absolutely, 100% guarantee you that you know someone with mental illness, because I think you all know me. I have major depressive disorder and moderate anxiety disorder. Now, for some folks, that's probably a surprise, but not only because I have managed, for the most part, to be a high-functioning, productive person despite suffering from major depressive disorder, but also because we tend to think of ministers as mentally and emotionally even-keeled. The sad reality is that 1 in 4 ministers have struggled with or are currently struggling with mental illness. Now, what that means for me on most days is that I will probably struggle with feeling overwhelmed with something. Now, frequently for me, it is something that might have a strong emotional component. But it could be something just as simple as calling someone that I don't know. While to some degree, we all deal with feelings of being overwhelmed by something on a nearly daily basis, major depressive disorder and anxiety disorder can amplify those feelings. They can amplify those feelings to the point of basically shutting a person down. My struggle and the struggle for those with similar diagnosis is to manage the anxiety and the depression well enough that it doesn't impact too heavily my life. Therapy and medication have helped me immensely with that. Except when they don't. Because sometimes they don't. Sometimes the darkness wins out. And you begin to shut down to withdraw. Anxiety wraps itself around your head and around your heart, and most things seem like they're either too overwhelming or just not worth the effort. It makes no sense at all. Frequently, you even intellectually recognize the ridiculousness of it all, but the feeling remains. The feeling remains, and it tends to control you until it's over. I've also experienced having the person I was closest to attempt suicide multiple times because of multiple illness. I've had a person that I worked the most closely with on a daily basis self-medicate to the point of me having to go over to their house, clean them up, including cleaning dirt and feces out from under their fingernails and check them into the behavioral health clinic. I've spent weeks visiting my own child in that clinic. I've even served as the chairman of the board of Presbyterian Counseling Center. Now, I say all of that, just to make it clear that I am very familiar with mental health issues. Frankly, I'm more familiar with them than I ever wanted to be in my life. And that is a big part of why this topic is so important to me. It's also one of the many reasons that spirituality is so important to me, and I'd like to explain that. See, historically there has been a noticeable disagreement between mental health psychiatry and spirituality. As psychiatry was emerging as a discipline, religion was ultimately labeled by it as problematic. And in 1907, Sigmund Freud described religion as a universal obsessional neurosis. And Freud's stance was widely adopted by other psychologists, which further ensured psychiatry's position as very unfriendly to religion, or at least mostly unfriendly to religion, which caused many clergy to perceive psychiatry as an anti-Christian pursuit, and therefore dangerous. And ultimately, the antagonism between psychiatry and religion persisted through most of the 20th century. Now, in the last 30 years, however, American psychiatry has evolved to a more positive and receptive stance towards religion and spirituality. Now, this is due in part to an increased appreciation for the significance of a patient's culture, as well as increased evidence that religion and spirituality can have beneficial effects on mental health. The new trend in psychiatry is actually so strong. You got to remember, 30 years ago, it was very different. And in the founding of it, religion was looked upon as a negative. Now think about this. It's so strong now that in 2011, about 79% of U.S. medical schools, 79% offered some variation of spirituality in their curriculum. And 75% of those schools required medical students to take at least one course in spirituality. Now, for me, that begs the question of what are some of those beneficial effects that spirituality can have on mental health? Well, recent research has shown that spirituality tends to have a positive influence on patients' overall quality of life. As a matter of fact, spirituality has been associated with lower levels of depression symptoms, fewer symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, fewer symptoms of post-traumatic stress in general, fewer eating disorder symptoms, fewer negative symptoms in schizophrenia, less perceived stress, lower reduced of suicide, and less personality disorder. One study actually showed that a higher level of certainty in one's belief system is associated with greater psychological health. And in another study, spirituality has been shown to act as a protective factor with a positive effect on adherence to psychiatric treatment. Now, even other studies have shown that, not so surprisingly, positive religion coping methods like spiritual support, positive religious reaffirmation of stressors, and spiritual connectedness, they are all significantly associated with and predictive of better mental health and psychological well-being. Not only that, individuals suffering from mental illness appear to benefit by surrounding themselves with a supportive spiritual community. Attending religious services regularly has shown to protect against major depression, and it's associated with a decrease in suicide attempts. Additionally, greater frequency of religious attendance correlates with less distress and negative life events. The reality is simply that study after study has shown that spiritual beliefs and practices may help people to better cope with a stressful life circumstance, and it gives them comfort, meaning, sense of control, and even hope. spiritual involvement correlates with better mental health in areas of suicide, depression, substance abuse. Belief in God, but not necessarily a religious affiliation, has been associated with better psychiatric treatment outcomes. Individuals with a positive and accepting image of God demonstrate fewer anxieties and fewer depressive symptoms. Because of my diagnosis and my life experience with mental illness, mental health is a very important topic to me. Specifically, I'm interested in understanding what tools best help with managing mental health. As a matter of fact, in my personal life, it's pretty much essential. Now, the truth is there are many tools effective in managing mental health issues. As a person who suffers from mental illness, as a minister, and considering the long adversarial relationship between psychology and spirituality, I'm thrilled to see scholastic studies investigating the relationship between mental health and spirituality. I hope that it encourages many of us to recognize the mental health benefits of this community. And at the very least, I hope it encourages us to be more open and more comfortable with talking about mental health issues here. And as a result, make this spiritual community an even better place for the 1 in 5 people in the U.S. that have experienced a mental health issue, just like I have.